A lot of questions about Measure 2. I want to make sure you're well-informed before you get to the polls. Representative Koppelman, Senator Hoag, welcome back. Nice to have you.
Good morning, Scott. Good to be back. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. Thanks for having us.
Kim, let me start with you. What do you think is most important for people to know about Measure 2?
Well, Measure 2, the shortest thing I can say about it is it's to protect our Constitution, and we should all want that. How's that for brief?
That's brief, and an example would be, the recent measure that's been thrown off the ballot by a court that would have went in and changed the Constitution with all kinds of things about our voting and a whole bevy of things, right?
Exactly. And the problem is that we have been, we've had a process for amending our Constitution for a long time in North Dakota through initiated by the people, and that process hasn't been abused until recent years. But in recent years, it's begun to be abused big time. And it's by radical, left-wing, out-of-state special interest groups that are attempting to enact their agenda. They're targeting North Dakota to do that because we're low-hanging fruit. It's not costly to pay people to gather signatures in North Dakota. There aren't as many of us because our population is lower. Advertising is not as expensive as in other states. So for a relatively low investment, they can work their will and get something in our Constitution that they try to slip past the people. It's kind of a Trojan horse. They will always dangle something that sounds real good. In fact, with Measure 3 that you mentioned, it would have been allowing military votes to come from overseas, sort of easing or facilitating that process somehow in a better way than it already is. And actually, it's very good in North Dakota the way that works right now, so that's completely unnecessary. Our Secretary of State has explained that at length. What most people don't know is that that measure was, I think, about 1,000 words, and only about 15% of it dealt with that issue. The rest of it was a lot of stuff that people didn't know about. One example is it would have reduced their representation in the legislature by one-third. Every voter in North Dakota would have had their voice muted by one-third in terms of the people they elect and so on. So there's all kinds of junk, frankly, in some of these things that are being proposed by these out-of-state groups that most North Dakotans never hear about. And this would simply ensure that there's transparency, full disclosure, and care when we amend our Constitution, and a document as important as that, it's something we all should want.
Senator Hoag, tell us about that process. So if I thought it was a good idea to change the Constitution for military votes or whatever, what would I do? What would the process be with Measure 2 passing?
Well, it would depend on you would have one of two ways. You could approach your legislators and say, gee, the 45 days that is in the law now doesn't seem like it's enough time. Can we give them an additional 15 days? And so the simplest thing for you to do would be to ask the legislature to change the law, and we could look at that. What Representative Koppelman referred to and what's happening in at least our last four election cycles is the out-of-state interests realize that their interests are not aligned with the people of North Dakota, and certainly not the people we elect to the executive branch and to the legislative branch. So they will always, Scott, always try to amend our Constitution because they know in that way, they don't have to have a measure that reflects the will of the people. And so what they do is they hire someone to gather these signatures. And in the case of Measure 3 that we've been talking about this morning, they get those signatures and they get them into the Secretary of State, in that case, July 5th or 6th, right after the 4th. And this thing is on the ballot and we're starting to vote on it in September. And people don't even know what's in the measure. They haven't had any. There's been no public hearings. There's been no testimony from stakeholders about what's good or bad about the measure. And so we just think that, as Representative Koppelman said, the process is being exploited by people who want to rush something into our Constitution before we've had a chance to give it due process and transparency and evaluate it on its merits.
Under Measure 2, there'd be a check there, basically, by the legislature to say, you want to amend the Constitution, so we need to look at this language and look at it if it passes, correct?
Correct. Yeah, we want to hear from... Well, for example, in Marcy's law, we would have loved to have heard from the prosecutors, from the judges, from law enforcement about how this measure affects how they administer justice in our criminal justice system. And we didn't have that, for example.
Scott, if I can jump in here, because Senator Hoag has mentioned something, it's a good illustration. Marcy's Law was something that was put in our Constitution a few years ago, and it was put there based upon victims' rights. Everybody said we ought to have victims' rights. Well, we did have before, and we do now, and the question is how good was that measure? Most people didn't know. I doubt that very many knew that that measure was 30 pages long and contained a lot of stuff nobody knew about. That's the problem. These are Trojan horses. They come in and dangle a carrot like victims' rights or military votes or whatever it might be that sounds great to all of us.
Hold that thought, if you would, Kim. We'll continue after a break. A text question for our guest. The legislature needs to follow its own advice on Measure 2. It has not been properly vetted. Many people do not know what Measure 2 is and might be a Trojan horse itself, so let's talk about it now and vote on it in 2 years. That is why they are advocating. What is good for the goose is good for the gander. What do you say, Senator?
Well, I would say it has been vetted. And it, first of all, Scott, it's the way we used to do things back when we first had initiated measures. This is the process we had. And for reasons that are unclear, we went away from it. But Measure 2 was vetted. We had several hearings in the North Dakota Senate in a subcommittee. And we debated it vigorously on the floor of the Senate. And we voted on it twice because it was amended. And that's the beauty of the legislative process. When you are vetting things and you find problems, you have the ability to amend them. And that's not the case with a constitutional initiated measure that goes directly from a law firm's office in California to the Secretary of State's office for approval. There's no vetting in that process. It gets emailed, and if it's in proper form, they can go get their signatures. Going back to Measure 2, after it passed the North Dakota Senate, it went over to the House, and there were more hearings, and more people testified both for and against it. And the House voted on that, and they amended it. They amended it to include a requirement that all constitutional measures must go on the general election ballot, which the Senate saw that, and they said, hey, that's an improvement on that measure. That's another amendment. So the Senate voted on it a third time. So we had this back and forth in the Senate committee on the Senate floor. We had it go over to the House, amended again, and we came up with a product that both the House and the Senate passed by near two-thirds majority, and both of which are very proud of. And so it was vetted. To say that that wasn't vetted, I guess we'll have to find out what it means to vet. But I'll compare that again, Scott, with the process where I'm a wealthy individual from out of state. I have an ideal. I direct my lawyer to draft it. I email it to the North Dakota Secretary of State for some consideration. Is this in proper form? The Secretary of State says it is. I hire some people to go out and get the signatures, and I put it on the ballot. There's no comparison between those two processes.
Yeah, no hearings there. Good point. Go ahead.
I was just going to comment on that because I think Senator Hoag has explained in detail how much rigor goes into a measure when it's considered by the legislature. This question from the listener really illustrates a good point because there are two ways right now that our Constitution can be amended. One is the process Senator Hoag just outlined. Something is proposed in the legislature, it goes through those public hearings, et cetera, then it goes on the ballot for the people to consider. So there's a check and balance there. The people are the final decision makers, and they would be under Measure 2 as well, but they trust the people they elect to represent them in the legislature to dig even deeper and decide, are there any problems with this or does this make sense? And it's just the flip side. What Measure 2 proposes is that when the people approve something on the ballot, then it would go to the legislature to go through that same process. It's just whether it does it first or second. So it would really equalize the processes we have for amending the Constitution. And right now, the process, when it's initiated, for all the reasons that you and it can be amended in a way that can hide a lot of things, and that's part of the problem. So when the people of North Dakota are asked to amend our Constitution, they should know everything the amendment proposes, and that's really what would be guaranteed with Measure 2.
Let's see here. We have a couple calls waiting in a short time. Let me throw you this real quick from a listener. Measure 2 isn't tough enough. What would you say to that, Senator?
Well, I've thought about that. And you try to strike a balance, Scott, because, you know, one thing I'll say about our U.S. Constitution is it's too hard to amend our U.S. Constitution. It takes 3/4 of the states to ratify a constitutional amendment. That's 38 of the 50 states. When are we ever going to do that again in this red and blue environment? I don't know. But what we have now in the United States is our Constitution gets amended by the U.S. Supreme Court.
Hold that thought, if you would. We'll finish this conversation on Measure 2 after the break. All right, our final minutes with Kim Koppelman, David Hogue, members of the North Dakota Legislature, on Measure Number 2 that has been vetted, been through the committee process, been voted on by legislators in the Senate and the House in North Dakota, and the law. And so, therefore, Measure 2, I guess the authorization is to take it to the citizens, and then it becomes law if you vote on it on Measure 2. We want to just make sure you know about it. So Randy in Bismarck has a question on that front. Go ahead, Randy.
Yeah, I love your program, Scott. I listen to it all the time. But I didn't get to vote for that mail-in ballot for the last election here. And I was wondering, can I go to my polling place in the city and still vote?
Let's see, you're from Bismarck. I guess I don't remember what Burley County did, but my understanding, Kim and David, is that most of the polling places will have a vote in person option, correct?
Yeah, as far as I know, Scott, the polling places are not necessarily the same as you're used to in your precinct. There might be fewer of them in your area, so you need to check on that. But if what you're asking is if you got an absentee ballot, can you vote in person instead? The answer is yes, and it's probably a good idea to bring that ballot with you, and then the poll workers can actually cancel it for you and give you an actual ballot to vote on election day, or if you do it in early voting, you can do that as well.
How do I get this mail-in ballot? I didn't get one.
Well, you have to apply for an absentee ballot, and I don't know offhand what the deadlines for sending that application in. I think you might still be able to do that. But again, I would call your county auditor's office in Burley County and ask them. They're the ones that are the experts on it. They run the
What Kim is saying is if you had requested one, you had it, but you decided I want to vote in person, you can just take it with you so it isn't laying around for somebody else to do any shenanigans with.
Yeah.
They get rid of the ballot and then you vote in person.
Correct.
Yeah, I haven't done any of that. I wish it would just be the same old stuff instead of all computer stuff and all that. It's so simple to do it the way I did it for all these years.
Yeah, it is. But some people, want to use a crisis like coronavirus to try and disrupt that a little bit. So don't let them win, Randy. Check it all out. Okay?
Okay, that's the city auditor?
County auditor.
County auditor. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So that's the
Thank
Burley.
Thank you so much.
That's the Burley County. Burley County. I was trying to get you a number, but in typical government fashion, I go to the contact us form, and it has a contact form, name, and all that stuff in your comments, but no number to call, which drives me crazy.
Yeah.
But you can find it. Thank you, Randy. Appreciate that call very much. All right, guys, what else do you think people need to know about Measure Number 2 that we haven't told them yet?
Scott, I was just going to say, I think Measure 2, your previous question from your callers, the Constitution should have more safeguards than just a simple statute. And I think Measure 2 strikes that proper balance between amending a Constitution, which is too difficult, which I mentioned prior to the break, where you have 38 states that have to ratify it. Well, that's such a high bar that it never happens anymore. And so you have this Supreme Court in Washington, D.C., they're amending our Constitution through judicial fiat. And so we create all these rights that the court would like because we can't amend our Constitution. And then on the other hand, North Dakota, it's so easy to amend our Constitution now that we have all these out-of-state interests coming into North Dakota, and they want to advance their agenda by amending our Constitution. And so Measure 2 it tries to strike a balance between between having some safeguards or having no safeguards at all.
Just before I go to Kim, I want to give the number for the auditor's office in Burleigh County for that last caller. I did find it under department heads. 701-222-6718. Alan Wiedmeyer is the auditor there. It is 701-222-6718 is the telephone number there if folks want to know more about where you vote in the process for Election Day. Kim, your thoughts, final thoughts on measure number two.
Well, I agree with what Senator Hogue said. Our process in North Dakota right now is the weakest in the nation for amending a state constitution through initiative. And we need to ensure, as I said before, that when we're asked to amend that document, that the people voting on it have the information they need. They know what it's all about. Currently, that isn't the case. And I guess the question is, would the people trust those they elect to represent them in the legislature, and we are citizen legislators in North Dakota, these are your neighbors, to vet this, go through the process, have public hearings where the public can come and testify, you can hear the good, bad, the indifferent, and so on, or do they trust a big state radical, or an out-of-state radical group with a lot of money to run slick ads to try to deceive them about what's really in a measure? And that's what we're subjected to right now. So it's a good check and balance, protect our Constitution. I encourage people to vote yes on Measure 2.
All right. Well, you heard a good bit of information from two folks who have been working on this a long time. And, I just really feel it's important for people to have as much information as possible. It's also on us. I mean, if we're going to go to the ballot, you can find out what the ballot is before you get there and know it's there and dig into these. But we try and make that a little easier for you here as well. Senator David Hogue. Representative Kim Koppelman. Yeah, Kim, you have something else to say?
Yeah, just one other quick thing. You mentioned the ballot, and this is another problem. I mentioned some of these measures are voluminous, 30 pages long or whatever. What do we see on the ballot when we go into the voting booth about a measure? We see a sentence or maybe a paragraph at most trying to describe what this measure is. It may be huge, and we may have no idea of all the junk that's in it. So we need full disclosure. That's another important point.
Makes sense. Thanks, gentlemen. Appreciate the time.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you, Scott.
There you go, folks. Measure number two on the ballot.